Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 13 through 20. Familiar words, I would suspect, but very profound words that need to be constantly pondered and just thought through, just with your whole heart. So hear these words again. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. Do you like the deserted island game? You know, we're kind of on this island theme going on here. Do you like that game? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's a very simple game, and it goes like this. You are on a deserted island, and you're given a choice between, you know, you can have any one thing on the island that's got to accompany you for the rest of your life. What will that one thing be? And normally there's a category involved. For instance, if you could only have one food on this deserted island, what food would it be? Pizza? Same topping every day. Or ice cream? How about that? What kind of music would you listen to? If you only hear one kind of music, would it be Chris playing the organ? Absolutely. That's right. Or would it be bluegrass? How about this? How about if you could only stream one sports channel, okay? Would it be the golf channel? No, no. Would it be the NFL Network? Possibly. Would it be Blue Devil Sports Channel 8? Am I getting an amen? Thank you, Jim. All right. You get the idea. You pick one thing. It's so critically important that it'll carry you through. Well, how about this? Today I've got one question to ask you. You're on a deserted island, and you can have only one scripture lesson with you. What scripture lesson would it be? Choose one. That's all you got. Would it be Psalm 23? Would that get you through? How about the Lord's Prayer? But you'd have two choices. You could do Matthew's version or Luke's version. Which one would you choose? Christmas Story. How about that? Well, again, Matthew's version or Luke's version? Oh, come to the Bible study. The open house is a week from Thursday, and you can learn more about the gospel. Anyway, okay. How about, I want a parable to keep me company. Parable of the Good Samaritan. Of course, I said at the early service, you don't have to worry about that because nobody else is going to be on there with you. Okay? You don't have to be a good Samaritan. Okay, never mind. Okay, anyway. How about the parable of the prodigal son? There's a good story. Well, anyway, I've been thinking about this, and I think if I had to pick one scripture lesson that would kind of just sustain me throughout, I think I might have to consider Romans 12. And you heard part of that scripture lesson. Don read it just a few minutes ago. And it's kind of one of those, how-to sort of passages that you find here and there. You know, practical sections, you know, how to live so you might live more fully, more completely, more meaningfully. Okay, I want you to listen to it again. Just listen to part of it again. Listen very carefully. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Extend hospitality to strangers. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Gosh, live peace. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Can I get an amen on that? All right, thank you. Okay. You know, as I was reading these words from Paul, and then the gospel lesson from Matthew, the two texts begin to become inextricably linked for me. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Okay, here's my logic. If we, the church, earnestly believe that we are the foundation upon which the kingdom of God is built in this world, then it is incumbent upon us to be a community that embodies the essence of Romans 12. If we are folks who can be described not as being conformed to this world, this is in the first part of the chapter, which you didn't read today, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our lives. If we are folks who do not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, if we who are many are one, if we allow our love to be genuine, to hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good, not allowing ourselves to be overcome by evil, but overcoming evil with good, then, we will find ourselves aligned with and conscious of the mystery of Christ and thereby be a presence through which God lays hold of this world. You are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Let your love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. But again, it raises for me then the age-old question, okay? Chicken or egg, you know? Which comes first, a confession of belief, a confession of faith, or a life characterized by integrity of spirit? Integrity of, you know, a spirit of grace. Now, I'm not really sure because they're so integrally bound in our hearts. So let me ask you, do we carefully formulate and embrace a personal theology and ecclesiology before we set out on our faith journey? Or does our belief system unfold in the movement of our lives? In other words, do we stumble? Do we live into what we believe? In the book of Acts, now, if you come to Bible study, open house is a week from Thursday, and then, okay. If you come back, you will learn that the book of Acts was written in the late first century, written by the same person who wrote the third gospel, Luke. But in that story, in Acts, you'll read words like this. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus. So if he found anyone who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. The way. That's the way the early church was described. The way. The word is hodos, which means the way, the path, the road, the journey, something like that. Friends, we're on that path. We're on a path. We're walking this way. We're on a journey together. And the perennial question, of course, is, are we making progress in that walk? Or better yet, using the Methodist vernacular, are we moving toward perfect love of God and others? Are we on the right path? Now, I'm going to revisit a book this week, and I'm going to read the title of it for a second, but I don't want you to read anything into the title based on my life. Okay? Here's the title. Living with the Devil. A meditation on good and evil, okay? I'm not saying anything about my family. All right. Written by former monk Stephen Batchelor, okay? And in this book, he offers this life illustration, and you know what he's talking about here. He begins with a woman is lost in the desert. Nothing in sight. Think about the worst desert situation you can envision. And she's in the desert. It's getting hotter and hotter. There is no water. She's getting fatigued. It looks like the end is near. She's about to give up. But then she sees something. Something that restores hope in her life. She sees footprints in the sand. Hallelujah. They lead off into the horizon. There must be an oasis. over that next hill. So off she goes and following those footprints. But no sooner does she get over the hill when she comes to the startling realization of something. They're her own footprints. She has been walking in a circle. For whatever reason, habit, injury, she's veered slightly off consistently, and she's walked for full circle. And Batchelor calls that the devil's circle. The devil's circle. You know, do you know what I'm talking about here? You do. It's doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results, or expecting to get somewhere new. Have you ever been there? You ever been in the devil's circle? Batchelor writes, no matter what experience has taught us, we insist on making the same mistakes again and again and again. He goes on to say this, quote, a devil's circle is addictive. It raises you to dizzy heights of rapture, only to bring you crashing down into the troughs of despair. Yet, I do not hesitate to start the diabolic cycle all over again. I find it hard to resist the urge to go through the familiar and comforting motions of a habit, even when I know that the end result will be the anxious craving to repeat the experience all over again. Do you know what a devil's circle is? It's being caught in a pattern of living that leads nowhere. Day after day, we do the same thing we've done for years, expecting, convincing ourselves that we are growing as human beings, despite the fact that year after year we lament our lack of spiritual vitality. Now, I'm convinced that one of the main benefits of our time together here at Pleasant Grove is a community of faith week after week, whether it's in worship or small group or VBS or Bible study, which begins a week from Thursday, is that here in this setting, here in this community, a community which finds its origin in the ministry of Christ, we begin to face ourselves. You know, gathering as a community of faith, we begin a process of self-discovery, really. In this place, we begin to discover who we are, better yet, what we've allowed ourselves to become. And we believe that if we immerse ourselves in this community of discovery, we will be able to begin to identify the devil's circles in our lives. This identification then allows us to get back on the path that leads beyond the perimeter of the circle. I know that experience. I know the experience of the devil's circle far too well, but I struggle with the response. I struggle to understand why I never get anywhere. Why I keep passing the same landmarks. Remember, some of the first words Jesus speaks in his public ministry are these, follow me. You know, in other words, let's go. And Romans 12 and much of Paul's writings, for that matter, are learning to walk that path, to follow that way. Learning to follow in this way. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's in the first part of the chapter. To me, the key verse is this, that leads into what Don read a moment ago. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Do not be conformed. Do not be shaped. Do not be shaped by this world. But allow yourself to be transformed, to be changed, to be refigured, to be renewed by the recreation of your mind. The Greek word is nous, that's translated mind here. But it also means reason. It can mean attitude, perception, purpose, understanding, discernment. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by new ways of thinking, which include allowing love to be genuine. What a novel thought. Not thinking of ourselves too highly. Well, that's an idea. Rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep. That would be a switch for me. And by not, I repeat, not allowing ourselves to be overcome by evil, but overcoming evil with good. That, my friends, would change the world. So friends, a life of faith, no, it's life itself is a path we travel in the presence of one another and with God. We say it all the time. It's a path that leads somewhere. It's not a circle. It's not a circle. It is a path that leads to deeper levels of living. It's a path that was first forged years and years ago. And it's a path that, when walked well, will bring life not only to ourselves, but to the world. And it begins with this. Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Thanks be to God. Amen.